God is our rock. It's based on Psalm 18. And as you know, our world has been turned upside down. We're in upheaval. People are worried. People are afraid. And it started in one country, and now it's spread to most countries in the world, in most continents of the world, including here in Canada. And at moments like this, of course, it's natural to fear, to feel afraid, to have fear, to have worry, to be concerned. And not only that, but lots of other emotions that we feel. We need to remind ourselves that bad things have been happening in our world since what theologians refer to as the fall of humanity. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, the story is found in Genesis chapter 3, we discover after that things are not the way they were meant to be. They're not the way they were meant to be between us and God, between us and other people, between us and nature. And so when things like this happen, it's a pandemic, as it is being called, but it's not something new. They have happened before, and it's sadly the effect of what happens when we disobey the Lord. There are consequences in this case that affect all of the world. And in fact, Scripture tells us that all of creation is groaning, waiting for its redemption. So if you are feeling afraid or worried, concerned, anxious, please know that those are normal human feelings. It's okay to have them. And as I said, there are lots of other emotions that come with that, like anxiety and depression and panic shopping, anguish, annoyance, and so much more. Of course, there are some individuals who are not taking this seriously, and that is a deep concern because it will affect those that are most vulnerable. I remember a few months ago, I was in the Bahamas. I was there to help with the response to the hurricane. And about 3 or 4 days after arriving in the Bahamas, there was another hurricane that was on its way, and it showed its path to be headed straight for Grand Bahamas, where I was staying along with a number of other people helping there. And as we were told by by our leaders that the storm was being monitored, we were given a phone number where our families could call in case we became disconnected and we had to just stay put and ride out the storm. I remember a couple of moments where I felt, wow, this is kind of scary. I'm not sure I signed up for this. I signed up to help with the recovery, not to come and experience a storm myself. And it's at moments like that, and we all have them, whether it's physical storms like that, or maybe it's trouble in our relationship, our finances, our work, our health. We have them, and they happen. And it is at times like this that the words of Psalm 18 are so, so good to hear, to remind ourselves. And in the psalm it says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. These are the words of the psalmist, of a man, as we will hear in a moment, who spoke from a lifelong experience of dealing with fear and threats to his life and being in danger time and time again. And so it's good for us to remember these words. They're not just ink on paper. They're not something that was written in the comfort of a world where everything was perfect. As I said before, we live in a world where things are not the way they were meant to be. A world which Christ has done and is doing work through individuals to restore it to what it was meant to be. But until then, we live in a world where these kinds of things happen. So I want to mention a few, I think, comforting words that the psalmist uses in reference to God. Now remember, this is an individual who lived several thousand years ago in a world in many ways different than ours, but in many ways very much like ours. And he himself was a man of war. He was experienced in battle. He had dealt with many conflicts. He had faced many dangers, many times when he was not sure he was going to make it out alive. And towards the end of his life, as he is reminiscing, as he's looking back over decades and decades of life in a world where things are not the way they were meant to be, but in a world where his personal reality was God, where he was surrounded with God, by God. He made God the center of his life. And in all the mistakes and challenges that he faced, God was still a big part of that. So one of the words he uses in this text is he refers to God as his strength, as something where there's a power and force that gives him confidence. He refers to God as rock. It's actually one of David's favorite pictures or analogies for God, as something that is so solid, either a high place or a place to hide, a desolate place where he could hide and he could find safety. In those times when his life was in trouble, David practiced what we today are calling social distancing. He would self-isolate in different places, in caves, in forests, in the wilderness. But in those moments, he learned, as he traveled through the rugged terrain of what we now call Israel, he discovered these rocks, these places where he would feel secure when everything else was falling apart. And so he uses this picture to speak of God. He also refers to God as his fortress, as a safe place to run to when you're being pursued, when your life is in danger, a place where you can run to and finally be able to stop and breathe and just regain a sense of perspective, about life, but particularly a sense of perspective about a God who is powerful, who loved him, and in whom he could trust. He uses the word deliverer, somebody who comes to rescue a person out of a dangerous situation, someone who walks in with full confidence, who can put a stop to what's going on, take someone in their arms and walk out in safety with them. He refers to God as a shield, again, in the military imagery of David, of something that he could that would protect him from attacks and from dangers, to put something around him that would keep him from the pain and the suffering, or at least to be able to recover from that and have perspective. A couple of more things he uses, an old picture that some who have been around, perhaps in churches, would know. He makes reference to the horn or the horns of the altar. It was a picture in reference to strength, to might, to victory. And David, as he has considered all the moments he was in danger in his life, he recalls that God was a place that he could grab onto, something he could hang onto and survive and not be swept away by danger, by life, by the circumstances that he faced. And the last word that he uses is a stronghold. A place that he could run into and from there be safe, to be able to look out and see when the enemy was approaching, to be able to move from there and to take action based on what he could see. And these are all the pictures that he uses to refer to God. I wonder in our day and age what pictures we would use to refer to God. What when your life is in chaos, when things are not working out the way that you wish they were and the way that initially were meant to, what words do we think of? But again, I want you to understand that David is not writing this from, as we say nowadays, an ivory tower. He is writing this looking back at his life. And in fact, Psalm 18, there's a little bit of an introduction that it talks about that this is the psalm that David sang before the Lord for delivering him at the times when his enemies were after him to kill him. So David sings this psalm to praise God for delivering him from those trying to kill him. And perhaps today it's not a person that's out trying to kill you. Perhaps it's the coronavirus. Perhaps it's another illness. Perhaps it's loneliness. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's another mental health issue that right now is really starting to creep in, and you are concerned. You're concerned for your own well-being, or maybe that of someone else. Can I remind you of these pictures that we have of God in this moment? And really, I think that David, and you can look through the Psalms, you can look at the stories in 1 and 2 Samuel. David has confidence in a couple of things that I want to remind us of today in particular. The sovereignty of God. He sees God as a king or a ruler who is sovereign. God is in control of whatever is going on around David's life. David knows that this is not something that is completely out of control. It may be out of his control, but not out of the control of his God. And we need to be mindful of that today. When we hear the news that a new case is here, new death there, this is happening in that country and in that country, and we're trying to find a vaccine for it. We're being given instructions of what to do to keep this from spreading. And it's easy, if we let it, to start thinking that even God has lost control of this situation. I want to remind you that that is not the case. J.M. Packer said this in reference to the sovereignty of God. He says that God's dominion is total. He wills as he chooses, and he carries out all that he wills, and none can stay his hand or thwart his plan. Doesn't that give you confidence that even in this chaotic world right now, God is still in control? Don't forget that. We may not feel like it. We may get this sense that things are getting worse, and then from our perspective they might. We don't always see life the way he sees. But I want to remind you today that God is sovereign, that this did not take him by surprise. God is not on his throne wringing his hands, worried and concerned that he may not have a plan to deal with this situation. That never happens. That's what it means when we talk about God being sovereign. He is in control. He will work things out. Of course, we use another term, that God is a redeeming God. What that means is that God can bring something good even out of something bad. We can often see this in personal cases, but we forget that this is also true in global cases, in a situation where there's a pandemic. As people who trust God, who follow God, who believe God, we can have this confidence that he will bring something good. I don't know how. I wish I could tell you that. I have no idea what his plan is, but I can believe, and you can believe that as well. The second thing that I think we learned from David in this psalm, and you can read the whole psalm, it's I think 50 or so verses, lots of great stories in there, is in reference to the providence of God. We use that term, we sometimes are not exactly sure what we mean by the providence of God. Here's what the Westminster Shorter Catechism says. It says that it's God's work of providence, that God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, and powerful preserving of all his creatures and their actions. Once again, I quote J.I. Packer, the great theologian. God's continued providence, A, keeps all creatures in being, that is, in their existence, and B, involves himself in all events, and C, directs all things to their appointed end. Isn't that a good thing? That we don't know where things are going. It seems that we may not come up with an answer anytime soon. But the one thing we can be sure of, something we learn from David, is that God will work all things out according to his plan. His plan that he's had from eternity, his plan that cannot be derailed even by a pandemic outbreak like this. And so I want to encourage you, the fears you may have, the doubts you may have, the worry that might be trying to take over your thoughts, wondering how you're going to make ends meet, I want to tell you, call out to God. Trust him. Believe in him. Maybe you are listening today and you feel distant from God. Maybe you know you're not in the place that you ought to be with him. This is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to call out to him. And he has said that when we call out to him, he will hear us and he will answer us. So I think there are three things that we can do, that David did, that will help us, that will put our feet under or on top of a solid rock, that is the Lord. that is unshakable, unmovable, and it gives us a stability. It gives us perspective. It keeps us looking ahead in confidence that this will come to an end, that God will be glorified, and that we will have learned something through this. The first thing is trust. David speaks a lot about it in the Psalms, and other writers of the Psalms speak a lot about trusting in the Lord. In Psalm, I believe, Psalm 46, David says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you, my God in whom I trust." To have trust means to put full confidence that what God said, that what he has promised, he will actually do. He's not going to tell us one thing and do something else. He doesn't tell us that he is good and then acts in an evil way towards us. He will never do that. So we can trust him. We can trust his word. We can put full confidence in God. Second thing that David does, and is one of his favorite activities, is he prays. He prays to God when he's on the run. He prays to God when he's being chased. He prays to God when he's afraid. He prays to God when he's happy. He prays to God when he's on the throne. He prays to God when even his own son threatened to take his kingdom away and he has to flee. David is always, always praying. And prayer is nothing more than talking to God like we would type to talk to a friend, to a spouse, to a parent, to a child. Is having a conversation, an ongoing conversation with God. Something as simple as, "God, this pandemic is really scaring me." Or, "Lord, I don't know if I'm going to have a job tomorrow." Or, "God, I'm worried about my parents or my neighbor," or whoever it might be. We can continually pray to God at all times. It doesn't require folding of hands. It doesn't mean we have to close our eyes. It doesn't mean we have to kneel down. We can't do all those things. But prayer is having a conversation with God. Perhaps you haven't prayed in a long time. Perhaps you pray all the time. Today is a good day for us to pray to God. I invite you to do that. The third thing that we learn from David is that he praised God. When things are going good, he praised God. When things are going bad, he praised God. When he was afraid, he praised God. When he was happy, he praised God. When he felt defeated, when he was far from home, when he was at the end of himself, not knowing what step to take next, he praised God. I think that praise or worship is one of the greatest antidotes to fighting worry and fear and anxiety. All of these things, we can praise God, reminding ourselves that he is powerful, that he is sovereign, that he is providential, that he is good, that he is kind, that he is merciful, that he is gracious, that he is loving, that he's present. That he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We have so much to thank God for. Not only for who he is, but also for what he has done for us. And what he continues to do for us. So I invite you. Listen to this other verse from Psalm 18. Verses 3 and verse 46. He says, "I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise. And I have been saved from my enemies. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God my Savior." When David feared for his life, this is what he did. He trusted, he prayed, and he praised. And we can do the same. I'm going to lead in prayer. And feel free to post your prayer request or your praise reports on the comments on this live event as well. And we'll be sure to make note of that. After I pray, the worship team is going to come back. We're going to do another song. And then after that, we'll carry on with the discussion about the Bible reading. Let us pray. Father, thank you that you are trustworthy. That in a moment like this, we can call out to you, even if it's a simple, "God, help me. Lord, I'm afraid. Jesus, I'm worried. Lord, I don't know what to do. Maybe it's not a prayer for us, but a prayer for someone. Like, Lord, please help so-and-so, protect them, keep them safe. Or a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you that we have food to eat, that we have homes to stay. Thank you for the medical folks that are working so hard. Thank you for all the individuals that are working, that cannot work from home, but are driving trucks or working in shops or at stores to help provide the things we need for our sustenance. Or even thank you for the sunshine today. We can always trust in you. We can always pray to you. We can always give praise because you are good. Because your mercies are new every morning. Because great is your faithfulness. And that your love endures forever. So give us peace in these dark times. May your presence be real to every one of us each new day. We thank you, we praise you, we trust you. Amen.